بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل، إن الله نعما يعظكم به، إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. Respected listeners, in the verse which I just recited from Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed Allah instructs you to return items of trust to their rightful owners. And Allah also instructs you that when you judge between people, that you judge justly. Beautiful are these things that Allah instructs you to do. Extremely beautiful are these things that Allah orders you to do. Indeed, Allah is all hearing, all seeing. Apart from mentioning amanah, returning items of trust to their rightful owners, the second beautiful thing which Allah mentions to the believers is to judge with justice, to judge justly. Justice is a very, well, justice in Islam is a very core concept of religion. In fact, Allah's whole universe and Allah's religion both are based on the laws of justice. Tawheed is justice, that the creation treat their creator in a just way. They see their creator in a just way and they worship him in a just way. And the justice of the creation in respect of their creator is that they worship no one but him. They recognize him to be not only their creator, but they recognize Allah to be the only deity, to be the only one worthy of being worshipped, worthy of being turned to and relied on. So even Tawheed is just. Tawheed is justice in itself. And anyone who does not fulfill the rights of Tawheed, anyone who does not act upon all the laws of Tawheed, is committing an injustice, and a great injustice at that. And thus, in some verses of the Quran, Allah has described idolatry, polytheism, Allah has described shirk as being dhulm, injustice. In one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِالظُّلْمِ. Those who believe and who do not pollute their faith with dhulm, with injustice. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. These are the ones for whom there shall be security, and these are the ones who are rightly guided. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu relates in the hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim and others, that when this verse was first revealed, the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum became extremely fearful, and they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they recited this verse and said, O Prophet of Allah, Allah says, those who believe and who do not pollute their belief with any injustice, And who of us is not unjust? Who amongst us is innocent of injustice to ourselves? So the Prophet ﷺ said, "Dhulm," the injustice being mentioned in this verse, is not what you think. Rather, read the verse of Surah Luqman, in which Allah quotes the words of the wise sage Luqman, when he was advising his son, and he said, "Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, inna shirka la dhulmun azeem." That, "Oh my son, do not commit shirk, do not ascribe partners unto Allah, for shirk is a great dhulm, it's a great injustice." So tawheed is justice. The whole of religion is based on the laws of justice. That each individual is just in his relationship, his or her relationship, with everybody. Primarily with their Creator. That they recognize the rights of their Creator. They recognize the Creator to be the only Creator, the only God, the only one, the only being worthy of worship. And anyone who commits shirk in the slightest sense, anyone who is guilty of not fulfilling all the laws of Tawheed, is guilty of dhulm, is guilty of great injustice. Wherever justice suffers, wherever people are not just, in every way, then the harmony, the laws that depend on that justice, all disappear. And confusion, anarchy ensue. Similarly in religion, if people do not administer justice as Allah has instructed us to do, then what will follow is the same confusion and anarchy. Now, justice is a very wide, very varied and far-reaching concept. But still, many of us make the mistake of restricting justice to just one or two things. We all think that justice is to do with the legal system and only the courts. And that all the verses of the Quran and the Ahadith about judging people justly and treating people fairly, these laws and verses only apply to judges, the courts, systems of law, and only to people who are acting as arbitrators in disputes. Otherwise, adl, the Arabic word for justice, and qist, another word for justice. Justice in the Quran and the Ahadith is only restricted to these few realms: legal system, courts, cases of arbitration, and people in prominent positions. That they should treat people fairly and judge between them justly. But we as individuals, it doesn't mean anything. Far from it. Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have told us to be just, and that means in everything. We are to be just when deciding between people. We are to be just in our treatment of people. We are to be just even in our perception of people. What view we formulate of them, what opinion we hold about them. Not only how we treat them physically or in monetary terms, but also what thoughts we entertain about them and what feelings we harbour in our hearts regarding them. We are to be just in those feelings, in those emotions, in those personal private judgments, and in these opinions also that we may even keep only to ourselves and not mention to anybody else. Justice means being just in everything. Even justice in one's own family. In hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Kullukum ra'im wa kullukum masoolun an ra'iyatih." Every one of us, every one of you is a shepherd. And each of you will be questioned about his flock. Every one of you is responsible. and every one of you will be questioned about whom he is responsible. So, true, the leader will be questioned about his subjects. And the father of the family will be questioned about his family. And as long as he remains fair and just in the treatment of his family, and he also fulfills the laws and the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has imposed upon him regarding the education, the teaching, the upbringing, the spiritual and religious and moral discipline that he must impose in the family. As long as he has fulfilled these duties, then the rest he will not be questioned for. So wherever a person is responsible, Allah has made its obligatory on him to be just. So much so that in one hadith related by Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayh, from Sayyidina Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu ta'ala, he says, my father wanted to give me a gift. So he informed my mother and said, I would like to give our son a gift. So the mother suggested that this is a very valuable gift, and it's a great share of your wealth. So why don't you go and make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a witness to this offering? So the father took the son. The father Bashir took his son Nu'man ibn Bashir radiyallahu anhuma to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he presented his case to him. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him that, do you have other children also? So Bashir radiyallahu anhu said yes. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, have you given, or are you going to give the rest of the children the same gift as you are offering to this son of yours? He said no. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go away then, for I shall not be a witness to injustice. If you give all of your children the same gift, then it's okay. If you discriminate, then go away, do not make me a witness, for I shall not be a witness to injustice. And in another narration of the same hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually said to him that, don't you expect all of your children to be equal in their love, affection and treatment of yourself and in their loyalty to you? He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, well, they all have an equal right to be treated fairly by you and equally. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to be just in every way. And this isn't just about distribution. It's not just about giving fairly and treating fairly. What I wish to concentrate on today is mainly how we judge one another in mind, and what we feel about one another in heart. And it's wrong to think that to think of people unfairly and unjustly, and to feel or harbour feelings about people unfairly and unjustly, is not harmful to one's religion, and it doesn't constitute dhulm, it doesn't constitute injustice. It does. And just as Allah has instructed us to be fair and just, Allah has told the leaders to be just, Allah has told the qadis, the qudat, the judges to be just. Similarly, Allah has told us as family members to be just in our treatment of family, of children. Along with all of these obligations of justice, we have also been instructed to think justly, to judge fairly, even if it may not involve distribution of wealth or punishment or any physical reality, even if it's just a thought in the mind and a feeling in the heart. How we feel and what we think about people, that must also be regulated by the just laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise there will be anarchy, there will be confusion, there will be emotional confusion, there will be religious anarchy, and a person will still be held responsible and sinful. Justice isn't just a beautiful thing. It's not just a luxury that, oh, if we do it good, we will get a good reward. But if we aren't just in our thoughts and in our feelings, then there's no harm. No. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam has warned us in many ahadith. He's also given us glad tidings in one very beautiful hadith related by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi from Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As radiyallahu anhu. He says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْمُقْسَطِينَ عَلَى مَنَابِرَ مِنْ نُورٍ. He says, on the day of reckoning, those who are just, they will be upon pulpits of light, of nur, to the right hand side, on the right hand side of Allah, of Rahman, and both the hands of Rahman are right. I'm only translating the hadith. Which people? Those who are just. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ends the hadith by saying, الَّذِينَ يَعْدِلُونَ فِي حُكْمِهِمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ وَمَا وَلَوْ. That those who are just in their judgment, those who are just to their families, in their families, and those who are just for any responsibility that they may assume. Those who are just in this way, Allah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will make them sit upon pulpits of light on Yawm al-Qiyamah. But to fail, so it's not just a luxury for which Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has promised a good reward. Anyone who is unjust, he shall suffer greatly. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, there are many ahadith which speak of how Allah will take such people to task. Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha relates in a hadith recorded by Imam Tirmidhi in his Sunan and also by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad, that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I have servants, slaves, who lie to me, who betray me, who are dishonest to me, and who verbally abuse me. So, in turn, I punish them, and I also verbally abuse them. So where do I stand with them? What is my connection and relationship with them? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the day of reckoning, their abuse, their disobedience, their betrayal and their lies shall all be measured. And your punishment and your abuse in turn will also be measured. If their abuse, their dishonesty, their betrayal, their lying and their disobedience all exceed your punishment, then you will be in the clear and you will have a right over them. But if your punishment exceeds their crimes, then they will have a right over you. So the man, Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu anha says that the man, he retreated to one corner and he began weeping and wailing, actually screaming and wailing for the fear of this reckoning. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, have you not read the verse of the Qur'an? وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. Have you not read the words of Allah in which He says that on the day of reckoning we shall establish the scales of justice, and then no soul shall suffer any injustice in the least. And even if it be something to the measure of a mustard seed, we shall produce it. And Allah says, we are sufficient as accountants, or we are sufficient as those who we reckon. So the man said, Ya Rasulullah, how can I live with them? For me, the best choice is to part with their company, and I make you a witness that I have freed all of them. So, this is what shall happen with everybody. Our treatment of one another. Everything will be measured on the day of reckoning. Now, we often see people around us committing acts of injustice, or speaking unfairly and unjustly. Remember, I wish to concentrate not on injustice in physical relations, such as someone hitting another, etc., or injustice in the distribution of wealth, but just concentrate on the way we think of one another and what we feel about one another. We often hear people speaking unfairly about others. Sometimes out of shyness we remain silent. Sometimes we actually join in and assist. On other occasions we remain silent, but ultimately it's connivance, because we try to act pious, and in our sanctimony we feel that, oh, I'm not saying anything, and therefore I'm in the clear. But deep down, because we ourselves harbour ill feeling towards this particular person, we are envious and jealous of them. We wish somebody else to do the dirty work and do the dirty talking, but we also relish it. And we don't want to do anything in order to help the other. So, but we still feel sanctimonious and holy that, oh, I'm not saying anything, therefore I'm innocent. No. In a hadith related by Imam Tabarani rahmatullahi alayhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, but whoever walks with a zalim, with someone who is committing injustice, in order to assist him, knowing that he is unjust, فَقَدْ خَرَجَ عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ, then he has left Islam. Whoever walks with a zalim, someone committing injustice, so that he may assist him, knowing that he is a zalim, knowing that he is behaving unjustly, then he himself has left Islam. So, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam has warned us. And it's our duty not only to avoid any form of injustice ourselves, but also to prevent injustice and unfairness in any form, in any capacity, and wherever it may be. In a hadith related by Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala an, recorded by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, also by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluma," that assist your brother, even though he may be the oppressor or the oppressed. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, we can understand assisting the oppressed person, but how do we assist the oppressor? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you prevent him from committing injustice, and in that way you will assist him. It's our duty. But unfortunately, like I said earlier, sometimes we want others to do the dirty work, and therefore let them say what they want about someone. We don't wish to intervene or defend the other Muslim. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam was instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be just and fair even when dealing with his enemies. And Allah has instructed the believers to do the same also. The Jews in Medina, they were bent on harming the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the cause of Islam. And when they used to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to come very insincerely. Like in Surah An-Nisa, sorry, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs believers about how the Jews would come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to make him an arbitrator and to request him to judge between them. But their motives were very evil, because, as Allah quotes in the Quran, they would come and they would say, let's go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him to decide. quite simply, a Jewish man and a Jewess, a Jew and a Jewess, had committed adultery. And this was after the Prophet ﷺ had arrived in Medina. And they had received the Prophet ﷺ, and ultimately, reluctantly, they had accepted him to be the de facto political leader, military leader of Medina. And not only that, but also the one in charge of justice. So they then decided that any of our disputes, we would go to Muhammad, the son of Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When this incident happened, and a couple committed adultery, they knew what the punishment was. Ultimately the punishment was death. But they were reluctant to implement that punishment, because for a long time they had abandoned it, and they had mitigated the punishment, they had lightened it. And in violation of Allah's law, they would merely rebuke and publicly disgrace the guilty people, but they wouldn't implement the full punishment. So now, again, they were in a dilemma. Should we, and the rabbis knew this, that if we don't punish them as God's law says, then we'll be sinful ourselves. But then again, how can we punish a fellow Jew? And this is a fact. To the Yahud, a Yahudi is more important to them than even Allah himself. So they said that we don't want to be sinful for not implementing God's law, but at the same time we don't want to punish our fellow Yahud. So they said, why don't we do this? And look at the thinking. They said, let's go to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we tell him that these two people are guilty of this crime, and you tell us what should we do, what should be the punishment. Now if he tells us exactly what's in our own scripture, which is that they should be punished by death, then we just won't listen to him, we'll come back and we'll have to decide something else. But if he says that, okay, you don't have to punish them by death, but you can merely flog them or publicly disgrace them, then we will get what we want at his expense, for he will be sinful. They still believed in Allah and in the reckoning and in God's law, and they claim that, oh, if he gives the answer, he will be responsible. So they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed the verses of the Quran, and as part of those verses, Allah says, سَمَّعُونَ لِلْكَذِبِ أَكَّالُونَ لِلْسُحْتِ فَإِنْ جَاءُكَ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ. But O Prophet of Allah, these people, the Yahud, they are excessive listeners and a party to lies. They are excessive consumers of haram. And if they come to you, فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ أَوْ أَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ وَإِنْ تُعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ فَلَنْ يَذُرُّوكَ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ حَكَمْتَ فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْقِسْطِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Allah says, if they come to you, then you can judge between them, or you can turn away from them. And if you turn away from them and refuse to participate, then they cannot harm you in the least. But if you do judge between them, O Prophet of Allah, then judge justly, for Allah loves those who are just. So the Yahud, despite what they did, Allah Azza wa Jalla told Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if they request you to administer justice, then be fair. They may be the Yahud and they may be the enemy. And even with the mushrikeen, in the sixth year of Hijrah, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam travelled to Mecca with the intention of performing Umrah, for the first time he left Medina, travelling towards Mecca with the intention of entering the city. For the first time in 6 years, he would have seen his beloved birthplace and the house of Allah. And he travelled with approximately 1400 Sahaba radiallahu anhum, not with any belligerent intention, and not in a provocative way, but clad in the pieces of ihram, having taken their animals with them in order to slaughter them in the haram, and making a public display of their peace, peaceful intention, and of their innocence. They travelled to Mecca with the sole intention of performing Umrah and worshipping Allah. When they arrived at Hudaybiyah, at a slight distance from Mecca, Prophet ﷺ camped there and sent men forth to Mecca to request the Quraysh to allow them into the city and to make clear that they had come peacefully. The Quraysh refused. And they refuse to allow the Prophet of Allah and the companions, many of them who were Meccans and members of their own family and their extended families and tribe, to enter the city. Now this was unheard of, it was unprecedented. Why? Before the coming of Islam, when Mecca was always the center of worship, and when the Mushrikeen tribes would come to perform their Hajj or their Umrah and perform their rites around the Kaaba, the Quraysh, whatever their political or personal differences with any tribe or any group of people from out of Makkah,